on the outlook, our outlook is a positive one. So as I mentioned, FOMC participants continue to see growth this year of around 2%, just a bit below what we saw back at the end of last year. And part of that is seeing that economic fundamentals, underlying economic fundamentals, are still very strong. You have a strong labor market by most measures. You have rising incomes. You've got very low unemployment.
Okay, he's an economist and he's boring. It's okay. It was like listening to paint dry, but what you heard him say there was the underlying economic fundamentals are still very strong. Hopefully that was Chairman Powell's way of saying he shouldn't have probably raised interest rates the last time he raised them. But they've acknowledged what the Trump administration and what others like us have been telling you is that this economy is cooking with gas. There's no reason for them to raise interest rates again anytime soon. The minute they announced yesterday that they weren't raising interest rates again, what happens? I look at the cable news networks. There's a market watch box in the corner because the Dow dropped 130 points. Wow. Out of 26,000, it dropped 130 points. I mean, it's such a minuscule drop, such an overreaction expected by the media that it shouldn't surprise me, but it's like they're hoping for bad news, so they put the box up there in the corner. So you watch it. Futures are down 36 points. Gee, I'm sorry. The Dow's at 26,000. Who cares? Tell me news I care about. That's what drives me crazy when I watch, even when I watch local news, and I've still got a lot of friends working in local news. Mm-hmm. When I watch local news, tell me news that's relevant to my life. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I know there was a house fire somewhere in North St. Louis last night, a vacant building burned down. I don't care. It's low-hanging fruit. It's easy for the assignment desk to send a camera up there to spray. Something we used to call it, go spray this for the 6 a.m. news. And you go up and you spray a shot of a building that got damaged in a fire. It's vacant. Probably somebody's homeless who started a fire trying to stay warm. Don't care. Give me something that's relevant. That news is relevant. It's boring, but it's relevant. So that's why I'm bringing it to you.
I'm just making saying. Excuses for why exactly. You're the boring guy.
here's some relevant news for you, and I promise that I'm going to get back to more on this later. But listen to Tim Fitch. We're gonna talk some city county merger news coming up. Better Together, better known as Bailout Together, held another one of their community meetings last night. Mm-hmm. Except that by all accounts, and even the Post couldn't put lipstick on this pig, 90% of the people in attendance were opposed to it. And Tim Fitch, one of the county council members, got up to the microphone to speak to them, to ask them some interesting questions. Go to cut 23, please.
Is there any room for negotiation in this plan, or is it a done deal? If it's a done deal, why are we all here?
The former chief sent it out during the meeting tonight, and he says the first slide on tonight's slideshow said 75% of police agencies are unaccredited, and Fitch says that 90% of police agencies in the county are now accredited or in the process of that, and he says the data from the slide is from 2014.
That's true. I had the head of the San Luis Police Chiefs Association on this radio station about a month ago, and he confirmed the same thing, that these folks at Better Together are using data that's 3 or 4 years old to claim that most of the police departments in the county are unaccredited, but that problem has largely been fixed. But they still continue to tell the lie to try to sell this boondoggle to the Missouri people. So, I mean, we're going to expose the truth for what it is. That was Molly Rose, who's a reporter for Channel 2. I don't know her. She must be new. She's one of the many, 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 many new people on local television. It's okay. Fox 2's done better than most of them when it comes to keeping folks around that have a little bit of gray in their hair. 314-241-9797. We'll get to a quick break. I got Speaker Jones coming up later in the show. We'll talk more about what happened at this meeting last night when we come back. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Well, I don't know him. I don't know him. He's a whack job. There's no question about it, but I really don't know him. I think he's doing a tremendous disservice to a wonderful wife. Kellyanne is a wonderful woman, and I call him Mr. Kellyanne. The fact is that he's doing a tremendous disservice to a wife and family. She's a wonderful woman.
And he's a whack job. That's what the president said about Kellyanne Conway's husband. You know, how warped do you need to be? Now, I don't ever want anybody to sell out on what they truly believe. I don't. But discretion is the better part of valor sometimes. Now, the president could probably learn that lesson at times with his Twitter account, right? But I'm sorry. Could you imagine if somebody who was the chief strategist or whatever you want to call her, counsel to the president, as Kellyanne Conway is, somebody who held that same position in the Obama administration, if their spouse had been out in the media every day slamming Barack Obama, can you imagine how the media would treat that individual as a pariah? And in this case, they heap praise on Kellyanne Conway's husband for having the guts to stand up and to this president.
I wonder what the conversation's going on at home, because I know that if we were in a situation where Eddie was, like, I was coming into work every day supporting the show, and then Eddie was slamming you on Twitter, like, on the reg.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be really awkward. Yes. You know, same with right. You and Doug. That would be a...
I'd never buy him a beer again. So they're on top of that.
And he knows better because he likes beer. We all like beer.
We all like beer. We still like beer.
But it's an odd dynamic for as loyal as she's been to the president, too.
And it shows you that there are people with such Trump derangement syndrome, they can't stand it. Like Damon, for example, has Trump derangement syndrome so bad that he can't stand it. Damon, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'd just like to ask you a question, Mark. What would a Republican, if he, you know, checks off all the points as a candidate, what would they have to do to lose your vote?
Be pro-abortion, want to do the crazy gun ban stuff that this...
No. I already said, policy-wise, you're on point. You guys are on the same page. What would they have to do to ruin your... to lose your vote?
Well, I don't know. That's quite a hypothetical you got going there, Damon. What do you have in mind? So I'm guessing you were a big Bill Clinton supporter, right?
No, again, don't distract. If you let me finish and get the question out, then you can go ahead. But, okay, the reason why I'm asking that is to see where your line of integrity is, okay? Now, before 1980, the conservatives didn't have partnership with the Christian right. But since then, you guys have partnership with the Christian right. And I get it. You don't vote for a candidate to be a pastor, you know, as president. I get that. But still, there's a line of integrity that I believe should be met for the highest office in the land. So that's the background as far as me asking that. So you're trying to distract. That's something totally different. So basically, go ahead.
No. I guess I'm still not... Sure. So what I think people still don't grasp here is the reason Donald Trump got elected. Because for years I supported whoever the Republicans happened to throw up there as president, the presidential candidate, the John McCains of the world, even the George H.W. Bushes of the world. I gave him a pass because he was Ronald Reagan's vice president. But ultimately, when they got in office, they somehow lost their spine, and they wouldn't stand up for things that were important. And what we end up with are bad trade deals and bad wars all over the place, and things that bad business practices that were hurting the economy and deficit spending that's crushing our economy. And you finally have somebody in Trump who, for all of his warts, is standing up and doing the right thing to do what's in the best interest of the United States of America and not in the best interest always of his political party. Why wouldn't you support something like that?
Why didn't you call Bush out on the stuff that you criticize him for now?
I absolutely did. I've long disagreed with Bush on a number of issues.
No, you didn't. No, you did not, Mark. But that's fine. That's fine. You pretty much answered my question. And I appreciate that, but at the end of the day, there should be a level of integrity that the person in the that holds the highest office in the land should hold. So, that's my last point. From this point forward, there should be no criticism outside of policy from you or those of your ilk when it comes to Democrats outside of politics.
Outside, well, see, again, we're just gonna have to disagree on that one, Damon.
Hey, Damon, sit down. You're finished. Mark, take the mic away from him. He's worse than Jim Acosta.
Sorry.
I didn't know you had that.
I've been waiting for him to call. 314-241-9797. We'll talk to Speaker Tim Jones when we come back.
Trump here. Are you tired of winning yet?
So apparently Damon called back and said that he appreciated the fact that I had that drop made with him in it because it means he's in my head.
I disagree with that statement, but so nice whatever makes you feel better.
To think of Damon. I'm really liked that
pretty,
you had that.
It's pretty funny. It's the thing that people who hate Trump just don't, they just don't understand. They don't understand it. Why he's so effective and why people are just sick of these politicians that spend their entire life pandering to somebody who wants something for free. And there's about 32 of them on the Democratic ticket right now. Let's get to our guest, please.
Fire that sucker off.
And the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
That's my false bad and bougie.
Uh-huh.
Ah, well, some of us are in Missouri and some of us are in on a sunny beach somewhere. You're a sunny beach, aren't you, Tim?
I'm in southern Missouri. Very southern.
Oh, I thought you were in Florida. I thought you were on spring break.
I am in Florida. I'm claiming this is our own now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
You threw me off there, brother. How you doing?
Doing great, Mark. You know, the sun is rising over the Gulf this morning, and the sand is white.
Nice. Well, we're all jealous, but we appreciate the fact that even on vacation, you're giving us a couple of minutes this morning. Thank you.
No, absolutely, Mark. And I'm in one of the free states. You know, I always joke about that when you travel down south, you can't really avoid from Missouri going through the People's Republic of Illinois. But quickly, you get back to the free states of Kentucky and Tennessee and Alabama and, of course, Florida. And, Mark, I'm right here on the border of Alabama and Florida, the famous region known as Florabama, and home of the last great American roadhouse in the country. And, you know, Mark, these two states, the amount of commerce and manufacturing that you see driving down here, you really can see the difference that state policies make. I'm referring specifically to states that have lowered their income tax, or like Florida, that's never had an income tax. States that employ worker freedom, you know, right to work, and that have low regulations and give parents educational choice. And once you hit Kentucky under the leadership of Matt Bevin, and then Tennessee, and of course Alabama and Florida, you see these massive manufacturing facilities. And, you know, to my friends on the left, guess what's inside those facilities? People working with great jobs and high wages. And Mark, they just, It's how money walks, right, Mark? Why people can't see what's right before their eyes is beyond me. I think they know all these things, Mark. It's just like you were talking about earlier with Damon, and like you've been talking about this morning. Those policies don't get politicians, having higher, that doesn't play to their base. You know,
right.
It's all free
right.
stuff all the time. And what Damon doesn't understand is the reason you and I and others support Trump is because he. Finally, after Republicans get popped in the mouth on politics, he's willing to punch back on politics. We love his policies, but I also like his politics. I think for too long, for too many decades, Republicans just took everything laying down. When Democrats, and I'm not saying I'm encouraging everybody to fight dirty in politics, but how about just fighting back in politics? And that's all Trump does, and they can't stand that he does it.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, I was wondering, since you're in Florida, if you heard the interview yesterday with Andrew Gillum, the former gubernatorial candidate who lost but didn't know it and continued to fight and insist that the race was stolen from him. And now Governor DeSantis is down there making bold decisions. Now Gillum is out like Stacey Abrams, still trying to make a name for himself, claiming he's going to register 1 million people in Florida, Democrats, that is, before the 2020 election to try to change the electoral outcome in Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, Mark, where is he going to get these people from? You know, that's what I always have to ask. And whether I have been noticing that whether it's Gillum or Stacey Abrams or Kristen Gillibrand or our good friend Robert Francis O'Rourke from Texas, you know, Mark, their platform, what they've been talking about over the last few weeks, it's very clever. They're not talking about the state of the nation as it is right now, is it? They're not talking about historic unemployment levels amongst many of their voting blocks of African Americans, Hispanics, all the minority groups. Wages are rising for working class people all across the country for the first time in 25 years. I mean, it is becoming one of our largest and longest eras of peace and prosperity since the Reagan years of the 80s. And so, Mark, what are they talking about? They're talking about basically trashing our institutions that we hold dear. They want to abolish the Electoral College. They want people to vote at the age of 16. They want illegal immigrants to vote. They want to give Social Security to people who are not citizens of this country. Mark, none of those things are for the current tax-paying citizens of the United States of America. That leads me to believe these Democrats these days do not want the United States of America. I don't know what they want, but it's not the federal system of state sovereignty with a republic that we set up pursuant to our founding fathers several hundred years ago.
They don't want the Electoral College just because they lost the last election. Remember, they started this whining in 2000 when Al Gore won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College. They continued it from 2016. There's a basic ignorance on the part of at least five of the candidates running for president of the United States who've publicly proclaimed they want to change the Electoral College to a popular vote, which flies directly in the face of what the people that founded this country were looking for and hoping for, because they saw this problem 237 years ago. They saw it coming. And here we are.
Yeah, Mark, and did you notice, though, they didn't complain about the Electoral College during either of Barack Obama's victories?
Of course,
you know,
not.
It's all about whatever the political power mechanism is for them. And, you know, they're insinuating something about the totality of this country that I'm not willing to concede, though. You know, and I'm definitely not for abolishing the Electoral College. It's been reformed. It's been the way we run the Electoral College has actually been changed about seven times over the course of history. But I'm not willing to concede the point that a true majority of Americans are not center-right thinking people. You know, we don't have they point to these last elections and say, oh, look, the popular vote that says that, you know, Trump shouldn't be president and Bush shouldn't have been president. Oh, but Obama should have been. We don't have a popular vote system, so therefore all of the millions of Republicans in California and New York probably don't vote a whole lot. So I truly believe that if we did ever have a national popular vote, I think that Republicans would still win. But see, that's not our system. My point is they want to destroy our systems, and it's either the Electoral College, it's our system of immigration.
Stacking the Supreme Court.
Attacking the Supreme Court. It's all about, Mark, attacking our systems in this current electoral cycle. None of them talk about their accomplishments. Beto O'Rourke was a three-time failed congressman who never got a piece of legislation passed. I think he renamed a post office. I think that was his big signature accomplishment. He runs around on this, you know, this bro, I'm going to help everybody tour without talking anything about policy. They won't talk about this current economy. They won't talk about their plans for illegal immigration. Mark, it's all about attacking the current systems and institutions of the United States of America and wanting to transform that, as Barack Obama prophetically told us.
He also won't talk about his striking resemblance to Napoleon Dynamite. He looks a lot like that dude, minus the glasses. I'm just saying.
I want to know who Pedro is. On his
Pedro. Team. That's the 10-year challenge right there.
I'm with Pedro.
Vote for Pedro.
I've been watching Beto because, of course, I don't know what the media's fascination is with the guy. It seems like all you got to do to be a rock star in the Democratic Party is run for a high enough office enough, be cool enough under the media's definition, lose, and then you're a national star. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, the accomplishments of Beto O'Rourke, you can write them all on a cocktail napkin and have plenty of room left.
That's a great point. Tim,
don't get it. I don't get the fascination. It's really astounding.
Enjoy vacation down there. We're all jealous.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, gang. I'll be back next week. See y'all soon.
All right, buddy. Take care. Former Speaker Tim Jones, of course, the Tim Jones Show 7 to 9 on Sundays here on FM News Talk 97.1. He's in southern Missouri. I knew he was at the beach.
Florida.
Man. If you're on a sunny beach, admit it. That's all I'm saying. 314-241-9797. I'll get to your phone calls coming up. Congresswoman Ann Wagner at about 7:10. She's starting a new coalition in the House that she says is going to help target districts like hers around the country. We'll pick her brain on that and more coming up here in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
So we didn't have worry.
So John Hickenlooper there, Lickenhooper, whatever he said, people made fun of his name his whole
life. He's heard them all, so you're not going to come up with a new one, Mark.
John Hickenlooper can't wait for Donald Trump to give him a nickname because he's just a big bully. That's what he said last night.
That's how he thinks he'll have made it.
Yes.
He can get a nickname.
I agree. It's like, ooh, I want my nickname.
So what you heard him say there is basically that he would have a litmus test for the Supreme Court, that anybody he would pick would have to agree with the bad law that is Roe versus Wade, with reading something into the Constitution that's not there. So he just tells you off the bat, while they're all critical of Republicans who they think have a litmus test for the Supreme Court, that he would have one. That's what his would be. Just tells you that. This dude. This guy went on CNN last night, and he said something that is going to make you all very uncomfortable, because it made me uncomfortable. Mm. But that's fine, because if he's willing to say it on national television, you should have to listen to it just like I did. Listen to the story he told to Dana Bash last night on CNN about a movie he went to see with his mother.
It was a pretty famous movie, too.
So I took my mother to see Deep Throat. And to her credit, the first scene is... I didn't ask the question. But I will tell you that my mother was... I'm sure she was mortified, and I said repeatedly, I think we should leave, I think we should go.
But they didn't.
Ew.
They stayed till it was over. And then they discussed it afterwards.
Mm. Okay. Ew.
That is sick. Ew. That is sick and twisted. Apparently he mentioned it in a book that he wrote, and then she brought it up on television at some... event CNN held for Hickenlooper last night to try to help his presidential bid, and he talked about it. Could you imagine?
No.
Ever Mm-mm. voting for
somebody? It makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it.
Twisted enough to take their mom to a porn movie.
Why didn't they leave?
Why didn't he leave?
Why were
like, Mama, you want to stay? I'm out of here. I'll be waiting for you in the car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll wait for you. That's fine.
Come on. That's there's something wrong there. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Made a mistake.
We've made a terrible mistake, Mom. I'm sorry. 314-241-9797. Ann Wagner coming up about 7:10. She's starting a suburban caucus in the House. I'm going to ask her what that's all about and how it relates to the second congressional district. And we'll talk about AOC and the rest of those crazy Democrats as well that she has to serve with when we come back.